Hi, my name is Sherry, and I am a survivor of sexual assault. I don't think anyone ever wakes up thinking that they'll be raped. It is a life-changing experience. It has been 15 years since I was raped at knife point in my apartment. I'm a rape survivor, but there is more to survival than simply coming out of the attack alive. Survival is a process that molds you into the person that you will become. I'm very proud of who I am, and I owe so much of that to my family and friends. Rape does not just affect the survivor. It affects everyone in the survivor's life, family, friends, and coworkers. It changes everyone. Just moments after the attack, I called my dad and told him I'd been raped. I cannot describe the looks upon my parents' faces as they walked into the hospital room. As they hugged me, my dad was shaking and teary-eyed. I'll never forget that. I had rarely seen my mom cry, and never my dad. Once they saw me, I think they felt better. I wasn't battered or cut and had no broken bones. My mom was described how my dad had picked her up from work and driven her the 30 minutes to the hospital. She was shaken by the look on my dad's face as he told her what had happened. That was very difficult to hear. When it was time to talk with the police, I wanted my mom with me. She was strong, and I needed that. She sat with me as I described the rape in graphic detail to the officers. At the time, I felt I couldn't have my dad hear the details. I have a very close family, and the rape was hurting us all. I was very open about my feelings. I was extremely uncomfortable telling my dad the graphic details of what happened. In the first days after my rape, he was very quiet and even shut out his friends. One of the most difficult decisions I had to make was whether I wanted my dad to be present in the courtroom at the preliminary hearing. I didn't think I could graphically describe the rape in front of him. He told me that he would do whatever made me comfortable. My counselor felt that he should be there, that it would help us both heal if Dad heard the whole story from me rather than from the newspapers. So my dad and I took a drive, and I talked about what happened to me. It was so hard. I was hurt from the attack, physically and emotionally, but he was in a lot of pain, too. We were both very emotional, and my dad just held my hand while I told him all of the inaccuracies in the newspaper report. He shared that he and Mom felt so helpless. They knew they could not take my pain away, and that was extremely difficult for them. I still cry just thinking about that moment. My counselor was right. My dad needed to hear the details from me. It prevented him from imagining things that didn't happen. The preliminary hearing was 10 days after my rape, and my dad did attend. Afterward, I felt like my dad was back. The family was able to laugh again, and we all needed that. Some of the questions asked in court are so ridiculous that you can't do anything but laugh. At least we could laugh together. Not only were my parents affected, but also my siblings, my friends, and my coworkers. My sister felt guilty. She had helped me to find my apartment and had lived for a while in the same complex. She blamed herself for the rape. I never blamed her, but she had a hard time dealing with both the guilt and the rape. My brother was away at college and was asked not to talk to anyone about the assault or the court case. Because he's always been so open about his feelings, keeping everything inside was very tough for him. He ended up transferring to the university in our hometown. I was glad to have him home, and I think it helped him to heal, too. The most important part of my recovery was having my family with me. They were always supportive and available to talk. At the same time, it was important to know we didn't always have to talk about the attack. It wasn't exactly an easy topic of conversation. I could talk about it when I needed to, but it was also good to know that we didn't have to dwell on it each time we were together. Just the presence of my family was comforting. When a survivor is ready, she will talk. And when she does, be ready. There are a lot of feelings and emotions. Some will make sense and some won't. None of them are wrong. I went to counseling immediately following my rape. In addition to the support of my family, I needed to talk to a professional. I had thoughts and emotions that no one could fully understand. And since my family was going through so much pain of their own, I felt these feelings must just hurt them more. All of my dreams were about the rapist. I visualized hurting him, which was very difficult and strange for me. It was so much better to express my thoughts to someone who wasn't attached to the situation. I urge all survivors to seek professional counseling. Even my coworkers were affected. Things changed at work where both my sister and I worked. I was attacked in the morning just as I was leaving for work. I never showed up. My colleagues, including my sister, assumed I was working in another branch that day. Some of the employees thought I even went out of town on a meeting with my boss. After the rapist left my apartment, I tried reaching my parents and my sister, Rita. I needed to have my family with me. I needed to feel safe. The first person I reached was Rita at work. Initially, the employees at the bank couldn't recognize my voice because I was crying. Once I identified myself, they brought Rita to the back room, thinking that I'd been in an accident. When she got on the phone, I yelled, "I've been raped." She didn't understand me, so I repeated it. Visibly pregnant, she ran through the bank as she left to come to me. Within an hour of my sister running out, the employees heard on the radio announcement that a rape had occurred on the east side of town. They knew it was me. In the first days after the rape, the bank brought in a counselor to talk to the employees and set up a safety system, which established that if an employee did not show up for work and did not call in sick, then someone would call that person to check on him or her. I think some of my sister's guilt came from knowing that she had been about to call me that morning to find out where I was, but just as she picked up the phone, a customer required her assistance and she never made the call. The single event opened so many eyes that morning. It raised awareness among my colleagues about the reality of rape. Such an occurrence has the chilling effect of reminding people that rape can happen to anyone. At work, I was moved out of the public eye. The employees knew all too well what had happened from the newspapers, even though it was inaccurately reported. Nothing was hidden, and I definitely believe that that helped me. My coworkers handled it very well, and while I felt uncomfortable, I was not ashamed, and I had no control over what had happened. The unwavering support I received from family, friends, and coworkers is the biggest reason I was able to move on with my life and work through this ordeal. However, I still had recovering to do on my own. I wondered if I'd ever feel secure again. When I was by myself, I was scared. I turned on every light in the house and slept with the TV on so I wouldn't hear the noises in my home. I had to force myself to go outside alone. I told the members of my family to continue with their plans and that I would be okay. It was stretching the truth, but I knew I couldn't live in a shell and be protected forever. I felt I had to move on with my life. As time went by, things became easier to handle. I still keep the lights on when I'm alone, and I sleep to a TV. It's a comfort thing. After something like this happens, you will always be more aware of your surroundings, which is not a bad thing. At the time of my rape, I was a swimming coach. Most of my teenage athletes did not know about my rape. At competitions, athletes on my team sometimes made playful comments about trying to set me up with other coaches. That was not comfortable for me. I constantly turned down their attempts to play matchmaker. Once a swimmer even made a comment questioning my sexual orientation. I knew he was kidding, but I felt it was time to share with him what had happened. He was very understanding and refrained from future comments. If I feel my athletes are old enough and the moment is right, I will share my experience with a few of them. Since many young people take it for granted that nothing will happen to them, it's a reality check when they learn that someone they know and respect has been raped. After their rape, it was a real challenge for me to trust men. I was a 23-year-old virgin with limited dating experience. It helped that some of my best friends were men. I knew they would not hurt me. But I did wonder sometimes if I would ever meet anyone, fall in love, and have a family. At the time of my rape, I had a good male friend whom I loved and fully trusted. I received a lot of comfort from that relationship. We were able to hug and snuggle, but we never kissed or pursued a physical relationship. It was very easy to be with him. I knew I would not be hurt. That relationship helped me to move on. I believe in people establishing a friendship before they become lovers, especially when one is struggling with issues of trust. I think the types of relationships that last the longest are those in which both partners want to be together, even when they know the best and worst about one another. Before my husband and I started dating, we were best friends. He knew of my rape and never pushed me to do anything sexually. He made suggestions, but didn't push. He waited until I was ready, and that was wonderful. I was always a little scared, but I wanted to try things with the man I loved. When I thought of intimacy, I could only recall physical pain, so I was afraid of everything. I was even afraid of being kissed. That changed pretty quickly when I had so much fun kissing him. I believe things happen for a reason. For some reason, I was raped. For some reason, I was a person who would live through it and move on. And now I am proof that there can definitely be a crazy, happy, fulfilling life after rape. Some wonderful things have occurred as a result of my rape. That's right. I said wonderful things. For one, I met my wonderful husband, who is also an awesome father, and we have 5 crazy, wild, and loving children. In addition, with help early on from my husband, my brother has become a nationally renowned speaker on sexual assault. Through his programs, he has made a positive impact on the lives of others, preventing some from experiencing such a horrendous ordeal themselves. For that, I know I was meant to be a survivor. Recovering from rape is a long and often difficult process, but walk away knowing that it was not your fault. I did. I knew I had done nothing wrong. I knew that my attacker had problems, that someone wouldn't ordinarily do this to another person. It helped that my attacker was jailed immediately and later sent to prison. I often think about what I will do when I find out he's out of prison. I have 3 daughters who will be teenagers when he gets out. I plan to tell them when the time is right. I am comfortable with that thought. Every so often, I think about my rape, especially when I see an assault portrayed on TV or in the movies, but I'm way too busy to dwell on it. I don't let it control my thoughts and actions, and believe it or not, I would not change anything in my past. My life experiences have molded me into the person I am today, and I am very proud of who I am. I have a loving family, great friends, and an awesome job. I own my own business and run another, both very successfully. Believe and trust in yourself, and know that being raped, although devastating, is a single, uncontrollable event in your life. Move on with life the best way you know how, and live life to the fullest.